Hello, warriors. Welcome to the See Free, Cancer Free podcast. I'm Pamela, your host. Today, I have an incredible survivor story from Anna Tower Cavesti. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your story with the audience. And we're always happy to hear survivor stories. And let's dig right in. So let's start with where you're from and where in the world do you reside now?
Yeah, so I'm in Colorado, USA, but I'm from Hungary and I just moved to the US not even 3 years ago.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you so much.
What do you think of our wonderful country so far?
I love it. I got diagnosed 5 months after I moved here, so I didn't have really a chance to explore and, you know, and enjoy and know how exactly is living here, but what I already experienced, I love it.
Wonderful. Glad to hear that. So speaking of diagnosed, tell me, how old were you and what kind of cancer was it?
Yeah, so I got diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia when I was 34 year old. So it was 2021 December, a few days before Christmas.
Oh my goodness. That's not a great Christmas present.
Definitely not. And it was totally out of the blue. Yeah.
And did you have symptoms? Give us a little scenario on leading up to this.
Yes. So, I only had symptoms 1 week before my diagnosis, which, you know, in hindsight, it's like totally textbook symptoms. But at the time, I didn't know that. So like one month or so before my diagnosis, I got COVID. It wasn't anything bad, but I felt a little like tired after that for a few weeks. And then 1 week after, one week before my diagnosis, I get like really like fatigue, but like, let's say I had a shower and then before dressing up, I had to like sat down because I felt like I'm out of breath. I'm so tired. I had my period, which was very heavy for a few hours. And I felt feverish. What else? I think fatigue was the craziest
fatigue,
one.
Yes.
Yeah, and I you know, I was thinking maybe it's long COVID, and what actually took me to the urgent care was mysterious bruises all over my leg, and I just had a massage before that, so I was thinking maybe, you know, it was too strong, and that's why, but still it was a little like concerning, you know, so I decided to go to an urgent care on a Sunday. They took lots of blood tests. I spent a few hours there and they told me that they will call me that night or the next day with the results.
Okay. Yeah. And I know I've talked to a lot of people with leukemia and it feels a lot like the flu maybe. Do you agree? Kind of just like lethargic and feverish and no energy?
Yeah. But I think the fatigue part is I wouldn't like... I cannot compare to anything else. It was really like, I just went up the stairs, you know, like just a few steps and I was totally out of breath. So it was a different kind of fatigue what I experienced during the flu.
Very extreme, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they called you the next day or that evening?
That night, yeah. So I was, back then I was living in Southwest Colorado in a smaller town, and I got a call 9 p.m. from the local ER that my blood numbers are really, really bad and I should pack a bag and be in the hospital. I should get my husband come with me and I should be there in an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that I will never forget that phone call. Sorry.
Oh, no. I can't even imagine. And I've been through it, but that's very, very scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. You know, I didn't even know what to think. So I just got a shower. My husband started to pack my bag. And like, I think 30 minutes later, we were in the hospital. they get me into a room, and I think not even like 20 minutes later, the doctor said that it's 80% that leukemia. And I'm a positive person, so I'm like, okay, I don't care about the 80. What's the other 20?
Yes, you love it.
Yeah, but she just nodded her head that it's leukemia. So that night, 3 a.m., I was airlifted to a bigger city, to Denver, to the Presbyterian St. Luke's Hospital. And next day, my treatment was started.
So they don't mess around. You went from going to the ER to getting a call a few hours later to rushing to the hospital and then being airlifted, all within 24 hours.
Yes, that's correct. 98% of my cells were cancerous. So I was really close to a stroke. My doctor said that it could be days, a week. You know, no one can tell, but I was in a really bad status.
Okay, so they started treatments that same, like I said, within 24 hours. They started treatments once they airlifted you to the bigger hospital. And tell me what the treatments entailed.
Yeah, so it's a pediatric treatment, which is pretty intense. It's supposed to last 3 years. 1 year, the first year would be the most intense, sometimes like different chemotherapies, a few times even a day, 4 or 5 times a week. And then there would have been a 2 year maintenance phase with like mostly like oral chemos. But actually like after 1 year, I changed and I didn't do that maintenance part. I swapped to immunotherapy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So my treatment overall was like 2 years long. But the first year was really crazy. Lots of chemos, lots of steroids, which I just faced the long-term effects of those steroids, and lots of blood transfusions, lots of, you know, medications. Overall, I spent 2.5 months in the hospital. I got a pretty bad infection the first year. And then actually I got a second diagnosis 8 months after the first one, which now we know it was a, I don't know if we can say misdiagnosis, at that time when I went through a bone marrow biopsy and the cells were in like an immature phase and they looked like that my cancer transformed into a different type of cancer. What the chemotherapy didn't target it. So I was told I have acute myeloid leukemia, and I was admitted to the hospital to start the 30-day chemo and then have bone marrow transplant. And I was in the hospital, the bone marrow biopsy was repeated, and after my doctor came to my room and told me that the result looks a little bit different and let's wait another day to have, you know, more detailed results and answers, and let's put a hold on the chemotherapy 1 day. And so the next day I was discharged from the hospital because they said that it seems like I don't have the secondary cancer. So overall I think we waited 6 weeks probably to see, you know, how my body is doing. I got lots of blood tests and another biopsy. And yeah, I was clear that I can continue with my original treatment, and I didn't get any other cancer.
Oh, thank God. Thank goodness.
It was really crazy. You know, after like 8 months intense fight, when they tell you that you have to start all over again.
Right. So, excuse me. So this was all within a 2 year period. And how long has it been since you've been cancer free?
Yeah, so thank God after the first months of chemotherapy and at hospital stay, I got into remission. So since then I'm in remission, I'm cancer free, and I finished treatment last October. So it's almost half a year now. And my, yep.
And that is fantastic. Tell me, how did you, during that 2 years, how did you cope?
You know, I think, honestly, I don't know. Looking back, I don't know how I did this. My husband was my caregiver, and he was with me 24/7. And my family, one part is in, you know, other part of the States. My parents are back in Hungary, but yeah. They were still, you know, like with me every day over FaceTime and text. So I think that that support really helped me. And also, we just got married with my husband 5 months before my diagnosis, and we had so much plans. And I think we just, you know, decided that it's not a death sentence. It's a pause on our life, and it's really, really bad, but we will get through it, and we will do everything but we plan. And I think that was the main motivation.
How has cancer changed you?
I think I see life differently, and I think now I know that small things are the big things. You know, watching the sunrise, being able to walk when it's raining outside. I'm just, for example, saying that because I was carrying an infusion bag for 6 months, and I couldn't get wet. You know, so I realized how much of freedom it is if you are walking and it starts raining and you are safe.
Yes.
I think I realized what's not worth to stress about, which I still have to remind myself and practice, because it's, even if, you know, you kind of know it, that some things doesn't matter what we think they do. It's still hard to do it in practice. And yeah, I appreciate things better.
Yes, absolutely. So many people I talk to, Anna, they kind of go one way or the other. I've talked to many people that said, you know what, they're done with their cancer, and they don't even want to talk about it anymore. They want to get that chapter out of their lives. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to relive it. And then the other side, people just want to give back. They want to help in some way. They want to tell their story. They want to give hope and inspiration to somebody, to other people just diagnosed, you know, that are getting ready to go through the fight. Where do you fall?
I shared my story, and I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to raise awareness, and I wanted to give hope. And so on social media, I shared my story from the get-go. With total honesty, I talked about the hardest parts. I talked about, or posted, you know, when I felt that I'm not strong enough to do this. I posted when I had that crazy infection, and I thought I'm not gonna make it. And at the end of the treatment, I was in a little, I would say, darker place. When I felt that I don't wanna talk about it. I want to forget it. And, you know, that's obviously not possible. It will always stay with you and always be part of your life. But I felt like I don't want to do anything. We have a local nonprofit here in Denver, and they help us a lot. They got small choices, and we try to give back. And there was a time when we delivered some Christmas presents to the hospital on behalf of them. And then they have lots of events, and I needed a few months to be a little, like, you know, like to have a little distance and step back it. And I think now I feel ready again to give back and be more part of the community.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
That's wonderful. Do you have a way? Do you have anything in mind that you want to do? Do you want to, you know, help the hospital that helped you so much? What is it that you might want to do to help other cancer survivors?
Yeah, I think the the biggest thing I would like to continue, and I already did, is again, just, you know, like, be honest about it and be honest, like, that after treatment, it's not over, because I think there's a huge, huge misunderstanding. And lots of people tell me that, oh, you finished treatment, you are fine, right? And no, I'm not. I'm actually mentally, I'm probably worse than I was during the treatment. And like I mentioned at the beginning, I faced some long-term effects of the steroids and the chemotherapy. So I want to, you know, raise awareness and talk about that. And I also would like to keep, you know, giving hope to people. And lots of people reached out to me that my posts helped them, and, you know, and how grateful that they feel they are not alone. And I keep in touch with lots of them, and I feel that probably that's the biggest help for them. But also I am planning to help to this local nonprofit in any way I can.
That's wonderful. You know, you're so right when you say that, you know, you're worse off than during treatments, because I found that when you're going through it, everybody's around to help. But then once there's no more evidence of disease, everybody just kind of goes home, and you're left with still having a cloud of cancer hanging over you.
Yeah. And you know, I think, at least for me, it's not even that, but I feel like, I mean, you are totally right, and I experienced that as well, but I from my side, I feel that that, you know, like, during the treatment, every day was kind of like surviving and just make it to the end and make it to the next one. And I didn't really think about that this whole thing is happening. I was just focused on, you know, like, when's my appointment, what kind of medications I have to take, what should I do if I'm nauseous and cannot eat, how to, you know, force myself to walk a loop around the block. But after that, I think you start to realize that, oh my God, this has happened, and you know, like, how much it affected me. Like, it took away 2 years of my life, of our marriage. Like, how will I process it? How will I make up for that? Like, can I do now? Should I do everything what I missed, or can I? And also, I realized that going back to normal life, which I think we have to build a new normal, actually, because we can never go back to the old one. But even doing, like, everyday stuff, like driving what I couldn't for a year, I wasn't allowed, or do groceries, or go to the you know, post office. These are small things, but it's really hard after not doing it for years.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's been wonderful to hear your story. Obviously, anybody that survives cancer has climbed a big mountain, and we all have to, you know, hats off to you for doing it, for getting through the fire. And I do want to ask you, do you have anything to say to people that are just being diagnosed? What kind of advice? What will you tell them? What is your advice to them to help them get through, like you did?
I mean, you know, like, don't give up. I feel like it's just so easy to say it. I would probably suggest everyone to try to find one thing or a few that it's important to them, and they wanna, you know, go back doing it or start doing it, and focus on that and keep that as a motivation. And you know, like, fantasizing about that and imagine themselves in those circumstances, and just, you know, do it one day at a time, sometimes 1 minute, you know, a minute, and also to try to keep their humor, because I think that's also something which can help.
So very true. So visualize. Believe it to achieve it, and laugh through it. I agree with everything that you said, Anna. I want to thank you so much. Is there a place where you would like our listeners to find you?
They can find me on Instagram. My name is Koevia. So Koevia. And, you know, if anyone needs or would like to connect, feel free to message me. I'm happy to, you know, to be in touch and happy in any way I can.
Very good. So there you have it. And I will definitely be following you on Instagram. And I urge all of the listeners to do so as well, because here you've heard it from a very positive person that overcame aggressive leukemia. Thank you so much, Anna, for your words, for your story, for your honesty, and even some tears, because we all have them. And I want to thank all of the listeners. And until tomorrow, God bless.